Welcome to Medicinal Herbs from the Holistic Matters podcast. My name's Kara Cradle, and I'm thrilled to introduce this fantastic episode with our host, Sarah LeBrun-Bloschka, and renowned and returning guest, Professor Carrie Bone. I'm excited for our listeners to hear Carrie talk about his brand new book that will be available in just a few weeks and is available now for pre-order. This book is called Functional Herbal Therapy, A Modern Paradigm for Clinicians, and we're honored to have Carrie join us on the podcast to tell us all about it.
Welcome, Carrie. It's so great to have you back. And you know what I have sitting right in front of me is your new book. So can you tell me what led you to write another book? I mean, you've written so many great ones, and what led you to this one?
Well, you know, after Simon Mills and I finished the second edition of Principles and Practice of Phytotherapy in 2013, which, you know, is 8 years ago, I thought, that's it, I'm over book writing. it's so much work is involved, and there's such a challenge to do. But in a sense, I felt compelled to do this book, and it was for two core reasons. The first was that over probably the last 8 or so years, I've noticed that I actually have developed a system, a systematic approach is emerged in a kind of an evolutionary process just by working with patients, reading the literature, you know, working with colleagues. This systematic approach to herbal prescribing has emerged that I've given the name functional herbal therapy. So that was the primary reason for writing this book. I have been talking about it in seminars, but I wanted to provide a resource that was there that, you know, because when you do it via seminars, it's very piecemeal in that, oh, I heard this lecture and hang on, where is it? And so on. Well, it's all there together. That's the first thing. But fundamentally, I wanted to convey the structure. Now, to do that in a lecture is, let's face it, it's a little bit boring to go through something systematically. But in a book, as a resource, it's absolutely the best way to do it. So they were my main reasons. And there's a secondary reason also, and that is that certainly in the clinical protocols and discussion sections of chapters of the book, it gives the reader an advantage to be up to date with all the recent material I have generated, rather than, again, oh, have I heard this lecture or have I heard this presentation? It's all there captured. And believe it or not, for that reason, I'm working on a second book along this theme because I haven't used up.
You knew you couldn't stop.
I know. I'm crazy. I should be on a beach somewhere, you know. What's retirement? What's that?
You can't stop when you got a good thing going, right? And you are still enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about wanting to share, wanting to progress the field. I mean, I think that is what's motivated me ever since day one is I want to see the use of herbs in therapy to progress, because I really believe there are some answers there for people's health problems that are totally unique.
Can you tell me a little bit about this like concept of functional herbal therapy and, you know, really what are you trying to get at? And, you know, functional really has become a hot topic or hot within our space, right? You know, functional nutrition and functional medicine. So how does functional herbal therapy really fit or differentiate within that?
Well, the first thing to say is it's functional medicine. When we look at the traditional principles of herbal therapy, it is so in step with the modern concepts of functional medicine. And I actually found this quote from an MD, and not even a, you know, an integrative MD, Dr. Merrill Broughton. And I think it says something that's very key and core. And she said, the human body is intrinsically committed to homeostasis. Most of what needs to be done has to be done by the person whose body it is. And my role as a health practitioner is to aid that process if I can and stay out of the way if I can't. And to me, I think that's the embodying core principle in functional mm-hmm. medicine and functional herbal therapy. So what we're looking at is we're more interested in the way that the body is functioning, the way it should be functioning. If it's not functioning that way, we need to understand why, we need to go to the source of the problem, and we need to provide the catalysts informed, as we are so grateful now by biomedical science. We need to provide the right catalyst to restore that body to its normal state of health, because health is normal, and in fact, vibrant health is the most normal a person can be. So what we can say, in a sense, is that modern medicine is trying to compensate or patch up, patch over, or bandage, you know, the functioning deficiencies of the body when someone has a health problem. But in reality, then that's valid to do. But in reality, what we should be doing in addition, or as a core fundamental, is supporting the body's naturally restorative processes that are intrinsically committed to homeostasis. In other words, intrinsically committed to good health. That's part one of my answer. Sorry, it was a bit long-winded.
That is like the essence of it, like getting back to homeostasis, right? That should be the essence of functional medicine as a whole. And so I think it fits perfectly, right?
Yeah, and hopefully it is. So then why functional herbal therapy? Well, as I said, because traditional herbal practice was at its best always functional. If you look at the Ayurvedic medical system from India and the Chinese traditional medical system, they are looking at absolutely how the body it should be functioning and what are the influences that are stopping it from functioning properly. And they have their own, if you like, enclosed systems and ways of doing these. Now, they don't correlate with modern biomedical science, but that doesn't mean to say they're not valid and powerful. Well, what we can do now with functional herbal therapy for Western herbs is we can bring in the biomedical science. And indeed, if I look at how I began on this journey, it was via an understanding of the role of the gut flora, you know, the gastrointestinal flora, in maintaining and bringing the person back to health. And so under the inspiration of my teacher, Heinz Zylstra, who's now unfortunately passed away, but under his inspiration, I developed what I call the GI flora balance protocol, or the bowel flora protocol. And that sort of triggered me into, I guess, understanding that the way I'm wanting to work as a herbal practitioner is functional. Because if you look at restoring gut flora balance, you're not treating any specific disease by doing that. And yet, at the same time, you probably are treating every disease by doing it, because the role of the gut flora is so important. So informed by science, there are some unique protocols that we can do with herbs that are at core functional medicine, in fact, functional herbal therapy.
Right. I think that's really fascinating, because you think about the core of it all, right? Trying to bring everything back. And, you know, it's not about treating disease necessarily, it's like finding the root cause, because diseases aren't necessarily the root cause, right, of anything.
Diseases are the consequence. So what we have with modern medicine, it's all about treating the consequences. And as I said, that's a valid thing to do,
right?
But not if it's just done in isolation, A, and B, not if it's done to the extent that it interferes too much. It's like that quote from the doctor, You know, mm-hmm. if I can't help, I stay out of the way right. of what the body wants to do. So it's also limited if it interferes too much with the body's normal functioning and indeed introduces side effects. You know, there's a joke I see online and the doctor says to the patient, I'm got to give you 7 different drugs. The first drug is to help you with your health problem. The second drug is to counter the side effects of the first drug. And the third drug is to counter the side effects of the second drug, and so on and so forth. Right. And you do, to some extent, see that happening to me. Now, mm-hmm. to me, that is really moving away from what is intrinsic and logical about helping people with health problems.
In this concept of, you know, functional herbal therapy and its and how you prescribe it, how would you say that differs from more of a normal Western prescribing? How do they either complement or how do they balance or are they completely different from each other?
As I said, Western herbalists have always been lock in step with functional medicine. So the system that I've developed embraces that concept that contemporary Western herbal therapeutics is functional per se, and hence draws heavily on the empirical roots of Western herbal medicine, especially acknowledging the prescribing systems of the key Western herbal movements that were largely based in the US in the 19th and early 20th century. Now many of you, I'm sure, know about the work of Samuel Thompson and Thompsonian medicine, and that was highly functional. And then he was concerned about heat, and all of these traditional roots are fully discussed in the book. There's a guest chapter by Simon Mills where he looks into all of these traditional origins of functional herbal therapy. And there was a relatively obscure group that evolved out of Thompsonian practice, herbal medicine, and they were called the physiomedicalists. And to me, that was, you know, 100 years, maybe longer, before people were talking about functional medicine. But that's exactly what it was, physiomedicalists. So we're using an understanding, and indeed, unfortunately, because biomedical science wasn't mature at that time, they had a very rudimentary understanding of physiology. But what the physiomedicalists were saying, we're going to practice medicine informed by how the body normally functions and try and assist it back to normal functioning. That was their core role. So I was even thinking of calling the system that I'm outlining in the book modern physiomedicalism, but we thought it'd be lost on so many readers. So functional herbal therapy right. was the go. So that's the first aspect. And then the second part of your answer is Western herbalism has often been criticized. You know, I mentioned Ayurveda and Chinese medicine had a system. So when I went over to the UK to study at the school that Heinz Elstra had founded there, and Simon Mills was one of my teachers. Now, you're talking here 1980, and I had a friend who'd gone to the UK and he was studying homeopathy. So occasionally I'd have dinner with them and students from the homeopathy school. And it was like they'd look at me and say, what are you doing here? And I'd say, I'm studying Western herbal medicine. And it was like, you know, they started crossing themselves. I was something very evil,
right.
because they saw it as that Western herbs were just used like green drugs and they suppressed symptoms like conventional drugs. And there was no real, underlying deeper philosophy of prescribing. Now, that's actually incorrect. And I've spoken about the physiomedicalists, whom at the time, even though they're an obscure group, the UK herbalists were very focused on physiomedicalists at that time in the 1980s. So they were incorrect, but there is those elements of Western herbal medicine where prescribing is often ad hoc. What's the herb for this? Oh, hawthorn, we give that, for the heart. Well, you do, but you're not just giving it in a kind of, Pavlovian ad hoc manner. There's a whole philosophy behind hawthorn for the heart, which is support the tissue, which I have designated as a key core principle of functional herbal therapy. So there was that perception, and to some extent, there is that practice in Western herbal medicine to use herbs as green drugs. So what I hope I've presented is a way to go beyond that in a systematic way. And the beauty of it is that even if you're a novice with herbal prescribing, you can look at this system and start prescribing immediately, like someone who's, as myself is, has nearly 40 years experience in clinical practice.
I'm really excited about this and this, like, you know, process to help our practitioners so that they can really, you know, adapt herbal medicine in an effective way. So as I'm thinking about the book and I'm looking at it, how would you walk me through it in the structure so that I can start right away with the ability to implement, you know, the system in practice?
Thank you. Well, the book is divided into three sections. So there's section one, which is the foundations. And in the foundations, in chapters one and two, some core strategies are outlined and discussed. But then in section two, we expand on some of these core strategies. And there's six chapters that do that. And then in section three, I show how the principles of functional herbotherapy are applied to some common disease states. And there are four chapters that do that. So foundations, a deeper understanding of the core strategies, and then applying all that to specific health issues. So if we look at foundations, there are four chapters. Chapter one is a general introduction to functional herbal therapy, where I discuss, you know, issues of functional medicine and traditional roots and all of those things, and highlight seven core principles, and then the 12 therapeutic strategies. So seven core principles, 12 therapeutic strategies. So in chapter two, I elaborate on those therapeutic strategies, those 12 therapeutic strategies, and that's called the principal architecture of functional herbal therapy. But I realized writing that's not enough. You've got to look at the real world. And when I look at sometimes how herbal clinicians practice, I see them making, shall I say, they're falling into some pitfalls. So even informed about, you know, what functional herbal therapy is about, you can still fall short of applying it effectively unless you have the right, what I've called, game-changing habits. So I've outlined in chapter three, six game-changing habits of highly effective herbal clinicians. And then, as I mentioned in chapter four, the traditional roots of functional herbal therapy are explored by Simon Mills. So that's the foundations. And then some of the core strategies, those 12 core strategies of functional herbal therapy, are relatively unique and highly informed biomedical science. So I have some chapters where I go through some of these really unique aspects. So microcirculation, plants and the microcirculation, which is a powerful new functional herbal therapy paradigm. Cellular protection and the NRF2 pathway is the next chapter, core functional herbal therapy strategy. Environmental toxin exposure is chapter seven. As I mentioned, the bowel flora protocol is chapter eight. And I give the full evolution of how it developed from Heinz Elstra's teachings and the various forms that in which you can apply it, including one, you know, there's a big emphasis now on barrier function, and the gut barrier is one of the most important barriers of the body next to the skin. And, you know, there's an article published in Nature Reviews, I think it was, where it was saying that defective barriers are responsible for 2 billion diseases. Now, just mm-hmm. to invoke in a major, major science journal the concept that, hey, if you really want to understand disease en masse, you have to look at defective barriers. That's functional medicine. That's functional right. herbal therapy. So it's coming. It's coming that this will eventually bleed into the mainstream. In chapter nine, I talk about stealth pathogens. I call it covert invaders. And the beauty of using herbs to deal with stale pathogens is you don't necessarily need to know what they are. You can do these comprehensive protocols that, unlike drugs that might target stealth pathogens, are very safe. These herbal protocols are very safe. And you, in a sense, you're testing by treating, because you don't necessarily know what are the stealth pathogens that are corrupting that person's health or their immune system. So you can only find what you specifically test for. So it's a test by treating approach, which I think, you know, people can downgrade it and say, oh, that's just, no, we have to test. We have to find this pathogen and that pathogen. But I think, I don't dismiss it as a concept. I think test by treating, which you can do with herbs because they're safe. I see some integrative MDs doing it with drugs, and I have concerns there because the drugs aren't safe, but you can test by treat with herbs. And then chapter 10, it could have been in the therapeutics section, but because these days anxiety and sleep are known to be such significant factors in overall health, I put that in as a core strategy, functional herbal therapy for relieving anxiety and boosting sleep. And then in section 3, I look at applications. So metabolic syndrome, allergies, immune and respiratory health. And then chapter 14 is irritable bowel syndrome and small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And you could see, based on that, there's a lot more to go before I cover all the common disease challenges, and hence the second book.
Right. Well, you're covering a lot, but not, you can't get it all in one book, right?
Yeah, yes. And because you have to deal with the fundamentals, that's like 2/3 of this book, whereas for the next book, the applications will be, I don't know, about 80% of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think one concept, your test by treating concept, I think is really fascinating, right? And how herbs have multifunction. And so it's more, less of a targeted approach, but more safe and effective approach maybe than an individual drug approach. So I thought that's a very fascinating, and I think many of our practitioners will find that section really effective, because, you know, a lot of times they're trying to figure out, is it candida or is it something else, or, you know, what is going on in the gut?
Yeah. So if you just apply the bowel flora protocol, it's perhaps the one that strengthens barriers, it doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. Right. You've got your unknown unknowns. So test by treating is the way to deal with your unknown unknowns that are often applying. And similarly with the detoxification protocol, you can apply a general protocol. And if we look at environmental toxins, they're now talking about the exposure zone. So again, I think in the journal Science, it was recently reviewed. So again, high level science. The exposure zone. So it's everything in its totality. So yeah, you can get a mouse and you can give them some lead, you know, and see what it happens. But human beings, we're exposed to low levels of literally thousands of new chemicals. And not just via what we ingest, it's also via what we inhale. They're beginning to understand that a very significant part of our exposure zone is air pollution.
Right.
So if you put in especially the cellular protective mechanisms coupled with the detoxification mechanisms and the NRF2 pathway and the herbs that influence that, connect those two, then you're covering the exposure zone. You're not focusing on, is it lead or is it mercury, you know, or is it bisphenol A? And that to me is not a weakness. It's a huge strength of herbal therapy.
Well, and I think to your point about this exposure zone, and it, you know, this is really becoming a discussion in even conventional medicine, we see, right? That
Well, as I said, that review was in Science.
Right.
That's one of the top impact factor journals in the world.
I know I read, maybe it was 3 years ago or so, you know, looking at people who had desk jobs and the level of different chemicals in their bodies. And it was like 300 plus. And we even see it in umbilical tissue. So the idea that even babies who really aren't even exposed are getting that exposure. So the idea of that concept of detox and also NRF2 together really make that opportunity to, you know, have an effect. So I love this concept of these fundamentals and how they really have a broad approach, and then you dive deeper.
Yes, yes. And you've made me think of one of the core principles of functional herbal therapy, mm-hmm. and that is modular prescribing. So we've talked about stealth pathogens, we've mm-hmm. talked about normalizing gut flora and correcting dysbiosis, and we've talked about dealing with the exposure zone. So, you know, if you said, hey, I'm going to do all those things at once, the poor patient, not to mention the mm-hmm. expense, but the poor patient would probably be spending half their day taking stuff. You know, there's a compliance issue. And I came across this problem, you know, at the coalface, because I'm a practitioner. And I thought, no, this is not going to work unless we do something rather innovative. And that's, again, something that has been developed over time in my practice. It's outlined in the book, and that is this concept of modular treatments. So I have a bowel flora module, mm-hmm. a GI flora balance module, and I have another one that focuses on restoring barrier, so correcting dysbiosis, mm-hmm. restoring barrier. And I have one for stealth pathogens with a viral focus, and I have one for stealth pathogens, you know, with worms and protozoal focus, mm-hmm. and etc. And we have a general detox protocol. So you can apply these as modules. Now, treatment modules. And so what that means in practice is you do it and with a patient on its own for 2 to 3 months as a test by treating option. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. you're going to be informed that this is the way to go. You're not just going to pick it randomly. Mm-hmm. But look, based on your history, and I really think there's some stealth pathogens at play. So for 3 months, we're going to do this general stealth pathogen mm-hmm. protocol with you. And we'll do other treatments focused on your, you know, the actual health condition you have and in a functional way. But in addition, we're going to apply this module. End of 3 months, patient says, hey, it's a miracle. My life has changed totally, or says, don't notice any difference at all. And then mm-hmm. you can move on to another module, which is mm-hmm. the exposure zone module. I mean, it takes time, but these patients, they're not going anywhere because they don't have any answers generally. Right. They've tried all their options. So I say to them, I say to them as a joke, you're not called patient for nothing, and it's not called and it's not called practicing for nothing.
Right. Exactly. So if we think about these kind of essential elements of the functional herbal therapy, so modules seem really important, but what are there other essential elements that we should think about too?
Yes, yes. So there it's one of seven core, what I call in the book, defining attributes or core principles mm-hmm. of functional herbal therapy. So the seven are, firstly, number one, understanding diseases as disordered processes of normal physiology, as did the physiomedicalists, as do practitioners of functional medicine, and how you're trying to restore that functioning of the body back to normal, you know, restore homeostasis, the normal state of homeostasis. That's core principle number one. And secondly, and this is really applies to many, many modern disease challenges, is this concept, embracing this complexity of mosaic diseases, where patient A, for example, might have an autoimmune disease, and you identify from the history and testing and what have you, that there are various factors that appear to be at play in contributing to that autoimmune disease. And patient B has exactly the same autoimmune disease. And yeah, there are some factors the same as patient A, but there are a few different factors. So mm-hmm. embracing that complexity of mosaic diseases, where there's a whole lot of pieces fit into the mosaic to make the picture. And that's where the individual story counts most, because you need to identify what's relevant to that that person in front of you. Another one, which is largely unique to herbal practice, is ensuring treatment energetics are compatible with the patient's condition. And we're informed here, especially, it's a big focus in Ayurvedic and traditional Chinese medicine. But if you go back to Greco-Roman Western herbal medicine, it was also a focus there. And that's ensuring that treatment energetics are compatible with the patient's condition. So a patient has, for example, what you would call a very cold condition. Well, you don't then give them lots of cold treatments. So there's an energetic, like anti-inflammatory is cold, for example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the coldest anti-inflammatory things are medical drugs. So you understand the energetics, and that's described how you work there. It's not highly evolved for Western herbalism, but there are a few basic principles that you need to follow, and they're not difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. Just to make sure that your treatment energetics are compatible with the patient's condition, the energy mm-hmm. of the patient's treatment. And the fourth principle is complex interventions for multifactorial disorders. So even if we gave the patient one herb, just one herb, we're actually giving a chemically complex treatment. You know, there are hundreds of phytochemicals mm-hmm. in that herbal extract. But then if you give them 10 herbs, you know, you've added to another, you know, another order of dimension to that complexity. But again, that's not a weakness. That's actually a benefit, because you're dealing with mosaic diseases that are multifactorial. You know, and I recently saw a review on asthma, and they've identified so many pathophysiological mm. issues and targets in asthma that led the reviewers to say that treatments like drugs, and especially these new antibody-based drugs, that focus on just one particular target, one particular pathophysiological process, are doomed to failure, because asthma is such a multifactorial disorder. So that's kind of inbuilt in functional herbal therapy. Then defining attribute number five is therapy based on 12 core strategic targets. Mm-hmm. And then number six is modular treatments and pulse dosing. So I've mentioned modular treatments. Pulse dosing is often part of these modules, and that's where you will give, say, a treatment for 5 days, and then for 7 days, you'll switch over to another one, and then you go back to that what was in the 5 days. So pulse dosing, it's often used for safety, to enhance efficacy, but it's also there to allow you to treat a complex disorder with complex interventions in a user-friendly way. And then, as I've already mentioned, the number seven of the key defining attributes or principles of functional herbal therapy is the overriding consideration is to support the affected tissue. So when I was doing my herbal lectures with Heinz Elstra in the 1980s when I was a student, he would often say, he'd use this word tropho-restorative. Hawthorn is the tropho-restorative for the heart. Milk thistle or St. Mary's thistle is the tropho-restorative for the liver. In other words, that we're not just looking in functional herbal therapy. And again, I think this is something that's hugely unique to herbal therapy, is that we're not just looking at how that tissue functions, we're looking to actually support the machinery itself. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's the use of tuning your car, for example, if your carburetor's blocked or your valves mm-hmm. are damaged? You've got to look at the actual machinery and support that. Now, our knowledge in this area is growing, but I do outline the state of the art of what we know about herbs that support specific issues. For the heart, we're very strong, you know, so we have a few herbs, hawthorn and especially the Ayurvedic mm-hmm. herb Arjuna and the Chinese herb Danshen. We have for the heart, you know, three key herbs, one from each major tradition that support the heart. So I've seen just supporting the heart tissue, not even looking at the pathophysiology of what that person's heart problem is about, but just supporting the heart tissue, I've seen huge gains. Patients make mm-hmm. huge gains. So mm-hmm. support the affected tissue. To me, I was taught that very early on with the concept of tropho-restorative. And through this system, I've elevated it to be a core defining attribute of functional herbal therapy.
There's a lot of information in this book, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Right.
It's 400 plus. It's 400 plus pages.
Yeah. Yes, right. As I'm flipping through it, there's a lot of information here. clinically, how do you anticipate somebody utilizing this book in their practice? Like, how is it clinically relevant, and how do I approach that?
Well, the first thing is to read the first four chapters mm-hmm. and familiarize yourself with the basic principles. And then when you feel you're comfortable with that, then read the next chapters that elaborate on those unique strategic targets of functional herbal therapy. So you've got a feel of that and get an understanding of the protocols, which are summarized in a user-friendly way towards the end of the various chapters. And if the health condition is directly covered by a chapter in the book, yes, go and read that chapter and then apply the protocols outlined. But if, for example, it's not, well, in chapter 2, I do actually give a summary of a range of key conditions mm-hmm. that will be elaborated in future books, mm-hmm. but a number of key conditions and what your targets are. So essentially, you've got the thinking and you've got the targets and you've got what the herbs correspond to those targets. So you can be, as I said, prescribing like a therapist with 40 years experience mm-hmm. in literally a couple of months.
Well, I'm going to really dive in deeper as I, you know, go through the book, and I'll probably, you know, have some questions for you. But as we kind of conclude today's, and we're all super excited to get the book and really become herbal experts ourselves and functional and really get into that level.
Yeah.
What else would you like to mention, and anything that we missed? I mean, we covered a lot, and I know once we get further into the book, we'll probably in another podcast, I'll have some good questions once I get really into it.
Yeah, well, certainly it's basically the way I now present. When I present now, mm-hmm. I'm always basically looking at the functional herbal therapy system. And that's another reason why I wrote the book, because I thought, people must be sick of me talking about this all the time.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, so very important to familiarize yourself with the 12 core strategies and the herbs that correspond to that, and that's in chapter 2, and also the key overriding consideration of supporting the affected tissue. And if there's not a herb that specifically is assigned to a particular tissue, like hawthorn in the heart, you know, milk thistle liver, you can do it in a general way by upregulating, and this is one of the core strategies, cellular protection, because that will help protect every tissue in the body. And that's, for example, NRF2 pathway and other means of cellular protection, which are discussed in that chapter on cellular protection. So I think that's an important thing to emphasize. But the other thing is, if these concepts are a bit challenging at first, just do it gradually, just do it in a, you know, gradual way, but understand you're probably doing it to some extent already, because I can never talk about herbs in general without mentioning my favorite herb, which is echinacea root. Mm-hmm. So here it is. You know, people come
in
and say,
I was waiting for echinacea.
Yeah, I thought
people
were.
Play drinking games around this.
Yeah, you could. When's he going to do it? You could even go into sports bed or something like that. Patients would come in, and this is many decades ago, and they would say, I've got this infection. I'm not sure what it is. It's possibly a virus or what have you. I said, I don't need to know what it is, because I'm going to support your immune system. Mm-hmm. And that is very core. So if you're giving patients echinacea to help them through an infection, you're already practicing functional herbal therapy. So it is inherent to the way we use many of these herbs. And all this does is puts it into a system that you can gradually adopt and incorporate into your prescribing.
Carrie, I think we're all super excited to dive in and learn more. And we really appreciate you sharing with us the context and kind of how we should utilize your new book and how to really dive into, you know, the functional herbal therapy and apply it into practice. So thank you so much for your time, as always.
Yeah, and thanks so much, Sarah. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
For more from the Medicinal Herbs series from the Holistic Matters podcast, look for the show on Spotify, Apple, or Google. We've also got a ton of content on holisticmatters.com regarding medicinal herbs. That's holistic with a W.